Welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship, a virtual gathering of believers seeking to better understand the Word of God, with your hosts, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, and Sam T. Doxson. From the heart of the Missouri Ozarks, welcome. It's the Gilbert House Fellowship Old Testament Study for Sunday, August 14th of 2016. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our fellowship, everybody. You know what? Some of you, and we thank you for it, some of you are brand new. So we suggest, if you've not heard us say it before, we suggest you go to gilberthouse.org. That's gilberthouse.org. And you can take a look at the spoilers on the calendar top right, see what's coming ahead, and read, before we even get to it, see where we're going. But you also will have access to all of the archived studies. We've done over 100 of these.
Yeah, this would be number 108 that we're working on.
Long time.
And since we're going through the Bible in a chronological order rather than in the order in which they've been placed into the Bible, sometimes it can get a little confusing.
Mm-hmm. Which is why we have to keep notes.
Many notes, yes. So today we'll be going back and forth between the Psalms and First Chronicles. We'll be wrapping up First Chronicles today. In fact, well, I guess I can share that David dies.
Oh!
Yes,
it's
true.
Didn't see that coming.
I know. It was a total... I hope I didn't ruin the rest of the book for you.
You did. I don't know.
But
now I'm really depressed.
But it does... This process we've been going through for over a year now, almost 2 years, I guess, with 108, getting close to 2 years.
Yeah, actually, it is almost 2 years. Yeah. We'll have to look and see what the date of the very first one was. But it was in the fall sometime.
Yeah, but it... It gives you a new perspective on some of the things. In the New Testament, you see the Gospels side by side and get a sense of the different perspectives by the Gospel writers. And in the Old Testament, you're seeing, for example, the Psalms and the life of David side by side. So you get a better idea of what he was thinking and what was on his heart at the time that the Psalms were written.
I know. I really love studying it this way. I've read through the Bible many other times, and you and I often say this, that by reading it out loud... It helps. But by reading it out loud in chronological order, I'm getting a whole lot more out of it.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, one of the things that I'm looking forward to coming up here is the description of the construction of Solomon's temple. Because we've been through the layout of the tabernacle back in the book of Leviticus, where Moses gets the instructions. And it can be a little tedious when you're reading through it, quite frankly. It can be a little boring. Like, okay, let's get back to the history part here. But... now that I'm looking at and working on the book that is involves basically the conflict of God versus the gods, and I'm doing some study on the cherubim and the different types of angels that appear in the Old Testament. It's cherubim.
Oh, it's one of those
yes,
B's. It's a V.
Yes.
Oh.
The Akkadian was actually cherub, or caribou, but
not caribou though.
No. That's a different type of animal altogether. But it's interesting when you get into, and when we get into Ezekiel, we'll see this again. Ezekiel chapter 1 and Ezekiel chapter 10, he describes the you know, English speakers. Okay, we'll defer cherubim. Cherubim. Anyways,
cherubim.
Yes. They have four faces. They're described as having four faces. Of course, human, bovine, like a bull, eagle, and lion.
Yes.
But in chapter 10, it says human, eagle, lion, and cherub.
Ooh.
So the cherub replaces the bull.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. And so you have to wonder why. What's the deal there? Well, does the cherub normally have a bull's face? Well, when you start looking at the other depictions of those creatures, those divine beings in Akkadian and other Mesopotamian cultures, the Babylonian, Sumerians, and so forth, you see that they typically were, unlike the way they're depicted to us, you know, human with wings, and especially since the Middle Ages, chubby little baby boys with wings, these were big bull, winged bulls, basically, sometimes with human faces, but oftentimes with bulls' faces. They looked in some depictions more like... winged lion, like the Sphinx, but with wings.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
And
is that why the bull was the symbol for Baal?
It could be. It could well be. I mean, it's a symbol of fertility and a symbol of strength, obviously, a power. But it is certainly one of the aspects of the cherubim who were always, from the book of Genesis onward, when the cherubim were placed at the entrance or to the east of Eden to guard the way to the tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
They were always, in ancient Mesopotamia, guardians of the throne or guardians of royal residences.
Aren't there cherubim just before the Holy of Holies?
Yes. And so we'll get into that description when we get into the Chronicles here. We talk about the layout of the temple. Because again, it's a depiction of Eden on earth.
Yes.
And that's why it's really cool. So sometimes even these sections of the Bible that we thought really weren't all that interesting. I don't need to know how many cubits the Holy of Holies is.
Oh, don't make me memorize that.
But there's stuff in there.
There's a lot of stuff
so,
in there.
Anyway. Just that's a rant for the week. We'll open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for bringing us together through this technology. And Lord, we just ask that you would open our minds and our hearts to the word that we read. Even, Lord, when we're just reading through lists of names or the history recorded in the heads of the households, as we'll do today, Lord. Because for whatever reason, to you, it was important that these words be preserved for us. And Lord, we just ask that you would grant us the wisdom and discernment to understand why and to get a better sense of the mindset, the worldview of the men you chose to write down these words and preserve them for us, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, some really, really cool stuff in the weeks and months ahead.
Lots of songs.
Oh, yeah.
This morning.
Lots of psalms this morning, starting at Psalm 131, a song of ascents. And again, this could mean a song of going up to Zion, ascending to God's holy mountain. Of David, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore.
Oh, that's nice.
That's a very simple one, and yet it is one that I could do well to listen to from time to time, as mm-hmm. I tend to get myself worked up on, I don't have enough time to do this.
You know, and it's one of those that's short enough that you could memorize it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And just take that, just be still and know that
He is God.
He is God.
Psalm 132. A song of
138.
Sorry. Why do I have 132?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Let me look again. Oh, you're right. Okay. Sorry. Had to go to a different tab. Of David, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes, thank you,
the divine counsel reference of the week.
Before the gods, I sing your praise.
Now, this is interesting because this could mean a couple of different things. Could mean that in front of the foreign gods, the gods of the nations around Israel, that David was saying, you know, I'm singing Yahweh's praise. And he spent a lot of time amongst nations worshiping foreign gods. He hid out with the Philistines for a while, and then he had to run to Moab for a while to get away from Absalom. So there's that. But this could also be a picture of what will come in the days ahead. The gods, the faithful Elohim of the divine council.
Yeah, I think so. Well, the next verse, in fact, I bow down toward your holy temple. That holy temple on earth did not exist yet.
That's true.
So is he bowing down toward the heavenly, the Mount of Assembly?
That's a really good point. Yeah, because as you're right, David was not allowed to build the temple. The tabernacle was still in Gibeon at this point,
mm-hmm.
although the Ark of the Covenant had been brought up to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. This refers to Christ Jesus,
mm-hmm.
who is the Logos, the Word.
Yes, that's right.
And he is...
Right, right. Because, yes, the name is often personified mm-hmm. in Old Testament.
Yep.
Listen, when God was telling Moses, listen to the angel who will lead you because my name is in him.
Mm-hmm. By the way, there is a sort of disagreement. I'll just be kind. Disagreement in the world of online Christianity. Folks who want to claim that there's a special version of a name for Jesus Christ, and that's the only one that you should call him.
No.
Guess what? He's getting a new one. when he comes back. Brand new name, written on his thigh. Brand new. We've never seen it.
Yeah.
That's the one. That's the one.
Yeah. And please, I mean, God was the one who divided the, you know, gave the nations their inheritance and divided their languages.
So don't divide over this.
Yeah.
Anyway, on the day I called you, you answered me, my strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give thanks. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand, Jesus Christ, delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
Psalm 139 to the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways.
I want to stop you for a minute. When you and I first married, I remember hearing you say to me, and again, this you were really early in your your sort of discipleship that the Lord was personally mentoring you.
I was still in my enlightened, let's say, what's the word I'm looking for, tolerant.
Let's just say you had a lot to learn, as do we all. But at that point, you said to me one time, I was asking about praying for this or that, and you said, well, you know, I really think God has an awful lot to do. And I'm not so sure that he is concerned with the day-to-day things that make up our lives.
Yeah.
Boy, have you learned a lot about that since then. And there is not the tiniest part of our lives he's not concerned with.
Right. You know, at that stage of my life, I was still trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
And I'm just grateful the Lord is tolerant and patient. Patient is the word I was looking for there. Because, I was in that sort of... I was one of those people who believes that God is sort of like a divine watchmaker. Okay. He started it, wound it all up, and now he's just standing back, letting it wind out, you know, like that Bette Midler song, From a Distance.
You'd become a believer when you were very young, but you hadn't been discipled. I mean, I really trust in the Lord that when you faithfully said, I believe in Jesus Christ. I repent of my sins. I want you to save me, Lord Jesus. That moment, you did become a part of his family. But you had no one to teach you. So you, when you and I first met, you, I believe, were a genuine believer. You just, you know, you had been fed with milk, if you got that.
yeah. Pablum.
The Lord raised you up and grew you up really quickly.
Well, when I... again, as we mentioned in the New Testament study today, reading about the martyrdom of James, the half brother of Jesus, in the year 63, 64, that was a turning point. That was like a light switch being flipped, because that was an account recorded by Josephus, who was a Pharisee, and as you pointed out, being paid by the Romans to write a history of the Jewish people. So he had no vested interest in making Christianity look good.
No.
And yet, when I read that in John chapter, I believe it's John chapter 7. I keep forgetting this, and I should know this because it was such a turning point in my life. John 7, verse 5. Yeah. Where Jesus was asked by his brothers to go down to the Feast of Tabernacles, and he said he wouldn't. And his brothers, according to John, did not believe in him. John 7, verse 5, for not even his brothers believed in him. Okay, James was one of those brothers, and yet James was willing to die 30 years later rather than recant that his half-brother, the kid that he grew up with, who claimed then to be the great I Am, that was a key thing. I mean, you know, I love my little sister, but if she ever came to me and said, before Abraham was, I am, let's call 911. But so that kind of was the anchor because if that was true, then all of the stuff that Jesus said was true, including I am the way, the truth, the life, you know, and no one comes to the Father but through me.
Amen.
All of that. So that was a, yeah, sea change.
So I'm going to read that again. Verse 3. You verse search three. Out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways.
My ways, yeah.
Even before. Oh, well, sorry.
I was reading this one.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. I got sidetracked.
Oh.
Imagine that.
We'll come in again.
Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. He knows the end from the beginning.
He does.
You hem me in behind.
He knew
the
that I was going to jump in and I was going to read, even though it was your turn to read.
He laughed. He laughed.
Did. He said, they're going to get to this. That's Gilbert's.
Yep. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful me. It is high, too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. And there's a lot about God that is that way. But
yeah.
Think about this. If we could understand God perfectly well and understand everything that he is thinking and all of his plans, we flawed, frail, limited humans, if we could totally understand God, he wouldn't be much of a God, would he?
No.
No. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Now I'm wondering, wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. And maybe this is just where my mind is now because I've been reading about all of the gods of the ancient world. The morning star,
mm-hmm.
Venus, was deified.
Mm-hmm.
Different cultures, different ways. Ishtar in the to the Babylonians. But there was a morning star, Shekhar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as in Halel ben Shekhar,
yes, exactly.
Yeah, was the morning star. And of course, the sea in the Canaanite pantheon, Yam or Leviathan.
Mm-hmm.
Just wondered.
Well, it's possible.
If these are kind of backhanded references, maybe not. But again, just kind of where my mind's going. Even there, your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Again, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you.
That's a wonderful passage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really good. I may have to put that in my book, have one of my characters quote that.
Interesting,
because
too.
Because that's really so good.
Yeah, we, and I've kind of skipped over verse 7, where shall I go from your spirit? Spirit capitalized in the ESV to indicate that it's a personification. Spirit mm-hmm. here, the Hebrew word ruach. Which is, well, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
Verse 13, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb.
This sounds like Job.
Mm-hmm.
There are passages of Job that are very much like this.
Yeah.
Saying, where can I go to get away from you? You're everywhere. You knew me before I was ever formed.
And an indicator that it's not just a blob of tissue.
Right.
Yeah. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately. Why would I have a problem with that word?
I don't know.
Must have been the dried cranberries. dried out, just puckered me right up. I'll start that again. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth.
That was well done.
Yes. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me.
Oh, that's interesting.
When
the
as
days
yet there
that
was
were formed for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to look that up.
The words translated unformed substance.
Is golem.
The Hebrew golem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Your eyes.
The KJV says written, but described, written.
But
formed. That's interesting.
Well, yes, because the translator's choice there is rather poetic in the counterpoint to the unformed substance, but my days have already been formed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, They are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Hmm. That is a beautiful psalm. And interestingly, the other translation of verse 24, the final verse, see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the ancient way.
Psalm 143. Is that correct?
Checking.
Sure, I'm not messing up again. A psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness, enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. There is none righteous, no, not one.
Yeah.
For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore, my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Selah. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. This is a prayer that so many of us pray because we don't know where we're supposed to be going next.
Yeah.
I get emails. In fact, you and I were talking about one I just got. I get emails, and so do you, from people who long to serve the Lord. And I believe that there is a mistaken impression that somehow serving the Lord in secular life at a, you know, company or a business or wherever, slinging hash, that somehow you are not serving the Lord. No matter where you are, no matter where you work, you are standing on a battlefield.
Yeah.
Those of us who work in full-time ministry are on that same battlefield standing next to you. So if you think you are not in a place where you can serve him, look again. Yeah. Pray about that.
Yeah, it is a tendency of us to think that you know, there are only certain very rather unique and defined roles that count as serving God. And if you're not being recorded, that somehow it doesn't count. Or if you're not standing in front of a congregation, or overseas ministering to people in foreign lands.
Yeah. Not writing books or something
or
like that.
Writing books. Yeah. There are many other ways. There's a friend of ours who's just was a coach, athletic coach for many, many years, and has stayed in touch with many of his former students at the high school and at collegiate level. And he's developed over the years a newsletter that he just sends out every week. He's actually got a couple of them. He was like us when we started doing the podcast 10 years ago. I mentioned to him once. I said, you have a ministry. Said, what? No. I just try. When the day comes when he passes,
when he goes to be with the Lord. And, boy.
And they will need police to direct the traffic because there will be people coming back from all over the country, if not the world, to, and then the greeting that he will receive in glory. You know who I mean.
I do. Yeah. I know exactly who you mean.
Yeah.
And I've thought that many, many times.
Yeah.
And some of you out there listening, you may have the same sort of impact, even though you don't understand that what you do every day is a ministry. We are all ministers of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
All of us. And you are missing divine appointments if you are taking your position on the field for granted.
Yeah.
So please don't.
Just, yeah, again, pray to, well, as Sharon said, you know, just pray and God will show you the place where your words can, your actions can make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Make me know the way I should go, David wrote, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. He wrote that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit, capital S, mm-hmm. lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant.
Yeah, and in verse 11 there, because Lord is all caps, for your name's sake, Yahweh, preserve my life.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 144, this is one that I looked up, and looking back on this, you know, 2001, the day of the attacks on September 11th of 2001. And I don't know why I found this. There was nothing happening at work after about 9 o'clock that morning, because that was about the time shortly after that we learned that the second plane had hit.
Yeah.
And I looked this up, and looking back on it now, I can say I was proof texting, looking for something to.
We all did that then.
Justification to the anger that we felt, because after that second plane hit, it was pretty clear that this was deliberate, not an accident.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know who was responsible yet. I'm not sure we know entirely who's responsible now, but
we'll
that's another story. And vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay.
Exactly. Yeah.
But David, as he admits, and we'll see that when we get into First Chronicles this morning or today, that David knew that he was a man of blood. And so this was a prayer mm-hmm. that sadly he had to turn to more than once. Psalm 144 of David. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my
Stop you for a second, because he was a warrior, but he was also a musician.
Yes.
He had a very artistic side to him.
Yes.
And so it had to have been difficult with a, you know, sort of a leaning toward that, to want to be creative,
mm-hmm.
to know that what the Lord really wanted him to do was to fight
mm-hmm.
and kill people.
Yeah. And he was really good at it.
He was.
Yeah. He is my steadfast love and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me. And of course, in the spiritual battle, we also have a need for having our hands trained for war and my fingers for battle. And the appropriate position is folded as in prayer.
Thank you. That is beautifully said and so true.
Mm. O Lord, what is man that you regard him, or the son of man that you think of him? And this is a passage that shows up again in the book of Hebrews,
mm-hmm.
where the author of Hebrews is writing about what will come the day that we are introduced to divine counsel by Jesus himself. Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so that they smoke. As when Sinai,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Flash forth the lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and rout them. And again, the lightning and the scattering. That's the storm. Mike Heiser referenced, ding, 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 in his most recent podcast in Ezekiel. They call it the storm theophany, I think.
Stormageddon?
Doctor Who reference of the week. But because the imagery of riding in the clouds and bringing the storm was a contrast to the imagery used by the Canaanites of Baal. And then, you know, going back, storm gods all the way back to Sumer,
mm-hmm.
You know, Ishkar, Asher,
all the way down. It's storm gods.
It's storm gods all the way down. Yeah, but the difference is that God is not just the God of storms. He's the one who actually created everything that the storms are, the rain is going to germinate mm-hmm. and so forth. But anyway, stretch out your hand from on high, rescue me and deliver me from the many waters, from the hands of foreigners, whose mouths speak lies, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God. Upon a 10-stringed harp I will play to you, who gives victory to kings, who rescues David his servant from the cruel sword. Rescue me and deliver me from the hands of foreigners, whose mouths speak lies, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. May our sons in their youth be like plants full grown, our daughters like corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace. May our granaries be full, providing all kinds of produce. May our sheep bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our fields. May our cattle be heavy with young, suffering no mishap or failure in bearing. May there be no cry of distress in our streets. Blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord.
Now we have Psalm 145, a song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Of course, we will get to do this forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. So for those of you who think, why can't I not search and find the answer to my question? It's not always there.
Yeah. Google can't find that one.
No. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. For those who are looking for God to come down and do smackdown, that day's coming, but it is taking a long time because he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
Giving opportunities for those to repent.
The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to the Lord. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. These are, of course, prophetic. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works.
Now, this line here is in brackets because not every manuscript has it. Yeah, one Hebrew manuscript that is cited by the Septuagint uses it. So,
the Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.
Now we move back to the history, back to First Chronicles. We'll close out First Chronicles today.
And lots of names.
Lots of names, yes.
Well done, honey. Go get them.
As for the divisions of the gatekeepers of the Korahites, Meshelemiah, the son of Korah, of the sons of Asaph. And Meshelemiah had sons, Zechariah the firstborn, Jediel the second, Zebadiah the third, Jothniel the fourth, Elam the fifth, Jehohanan the sixth.
Ooh, that's good.
Elihoatni the seventh.
Honey!
And Obed-Edom had sons, Shemaiah the firstborn, Jehozabad the second, Joah the third, Sakhar the fourth, Nethanel the fifth, Amiel the sixth, Issachar the seventh, Peulatai the eighth, for God blessed him. Also to his son Shemaiah were sons born who were rulers in their father's houses, for they were men of great ability. The sons of Shemaiah, Othni, Raphael, Obed, and Elzabad, whose brothers were able men, Elihu and Semachiah.
By the way, if these names all sound familiar, it's because we've gotten this story before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the Kings.
That's right. It's we're getting the second account here.
Mm-hmm.
All these were of the sons of Obed-Edom with their sons and brothers. Able men qualified for the service, 62 of Obed-Edom. And Meshelemiah had sons and brothers, able men, 18. And Hozah of the sons of Merari had sons, Shimrei the chief, for though he was not the firstborn, his father made him chief, Hilkiah the second, Tebaliah the third, Zechariah the fourth. All the sons and brothers of Hozah were 13. These divisions of the gatekeepers, corresponding to their chief men, had duties, just as their brothers did, ministering in the house of the Lord. And they cast lots by fathers' houses, small and great alike, for their gates. The lot for the east fell to Shelemiah. They cast lots also for his son Zechariah, a shrewd counselor, and his lot came out for the north. Obed-Edom's came out for the south, and to his sons was allotted the gatehouse. For Shupim and Hozah it came out for the west, at the gate of Shalaketh on the road that goes up. Watch corresponded to watch. On the east there were six each day, on the north four each day, on the south four each day, as well as two and two at the gatehouse. And for the colonnade on the west there were four at the road and two at the colonnade. These were the divisions of the gatekeepers among the Korahites and the sons of Merari. The east was probably an honor,
mm-hmm.
because, as we recall, the entrance to Eden was to the east.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Also, when Christ returns, he will come through the eastern gate.
That's right. And that's why. Not a coincidence. Verse 20, and of the Levites, Ahijah had charge of the treasuries of the house of God and the treasuries of the dedicated gifts. The sons of Ladan, the sons of the Gershonites belonging to Ladan, the heads of the father's houses belonging to Ladan, the Gershonite, Jehielai, or Jehi. Is it the vowel I pronounced E or I typically?
Jehieli.
Jehieli? Okay, that's kind of, yeah.
If you think of that I-E as a Y, I, ye.
Oh, diphthong.
Yeah, okay. I think mm-hmm. that may be what yeah. that is.
The sons of Jehieli, Zitham and Joel, his brother, were in charge of the treasuries of the house of the Lord. Of the Amramites, the Izharites, the Hebronites, and the Uzielites, and Shebuel, the son of Gershom, son of Moses, was chief officer in charge of the treasuries. His brothers from Eleazar were his son Rehabiah, and his son Jeshaiah, and his son Joram, and his son Zikri, and his son Shelemoth. This Shelemoth and his brothers were in charge of all the treasuries of the dedicated gifts that David the king and the heads of the father's houses and the officers of the thousands and the hundreds and the commanders of the army had dedicated. From spoil won in battles, they dedicated gifts for the maintenance of the house of the Lord. Also, all that Samuel the seer and Saul the son of Kish and Abner the son of Ner and Joab the son of Zeruiah had dedicated, all dedicated gifts were in the care of Shelemoth and his brothers. Of the Izharites, Chenaniah and his sons were appointed to external duties for Israel as officers and judges. Of the Hebronites, Hashabiah and his brothers, 1,700 men of ability, had the oversight of Israel westward of the Jordan for all the work of the Lord and for the service of the king. Of the Hebronites, Jerijah was chief of the Hebronites of whatever genealogy or father's houses. So the men of Hebron, who were the first to proclaim David king, apparently got some patronage. In the 40th year of David's reign, search was made, and men of great ability among them were found at Jazer in Gilead. King David appointed him and his brothers, 2,700 men of ability, heads of fathers' houses, to have the oversight of the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of the Manassites for everything pertaining to God and for the affairs of the king.
And now we go to 1 Chronicles 27. This is the number of the people of Israel, the heads of fathers' houses, the commanders of thousands and hundreds, and their officers who served the king in all matters concerning the divisions that came and went month after month throughout the year, each division numbering 24,000. Jehoshbeam, the son of Zabdiel, was in charge of the first division in the first month. In his division were 24,000. He was a descendant of Perez.
Hmm.
We've seen that name before. Remember those twins?
Yeah, that was the son of Judah.
Yep, indeed.
By his daughter-in-law.
Tamar. and an ancestor
of Jesus
Christ.
Right.
Uh-huh. He was a descendant of Perez and was chief of all the commanders. He served for the first month. Dodai, the Ahohite, was in charge of the division of the second month, and his division were 24,000. The third commander for the third month was Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the chief priest, and his division were 24,000. This is the Benaiah who was a mighty man of the 30 and in command of the 30. Amitzabad, his son, was in charge of his division. We've seen this mighty man of the 30 references before.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps three commanders within those that are right. Even mightier than the others.
Yeah, yeah. He was a mighty man but did not attain to the three.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Azahel, the brother of Joab, was fourth for the fourth month, and his son Zebadiah after him. In his division were 24,000. The fifth commander for the fifth month was Shamhuth, the Israelite. In his division were 24,000. Sixth for the sixth month was Irah, the son of Ikesh, the Tekoite. In his division were 24,000. Seventh for the seventh month was Heletz, the Pelonite, the sons of Ephraim. In his division were 24,000. Eighth for the eighth month was Sibekai, the Hushathite of Zerahites. In his division were 24,000. Ninth for the ninth month was Abiezer of Anathoth, a Benjaminite. In his division were 24,000. Guess what? They're 24,000 in his division.
Yeah.
Tenth, but these numbers are in here for a reason. They want to make sure that you know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make an assumption. I'm telling you what we counted.
Exactly.
Tenth for the tenth month was Maharai of Netophath of the Zerahites. In his division were 24,000. 11th for the 11th month was Benaiah of Pirathon of the sons of Ephraim. In his division were 24,000. 12th for the 12th month was Heldai, the Netophathite of Othniel. In his division were 24,000. Over the tribes of Israel, for the Reubenites, Eliezer, the son of Zikri, was chief officer. For the Simeonites, Shephatiah, the son of Maacah. For Levi, Hashabiah, the son of Kemuel. For Aaron, Zadok. For Judah, Elihu, one of David's brothers. For Issachar, Omri, the son of Michael. For Zebulun, Ishmaiah, the son of Obadiah. For Naphtali, I don't know if it's Jeremoth or Yeremoth, because a lot of times the J's are actually Y sounds.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The son of Atzriel. For the Ephraimites, Hoshea, the son of Atzatziah. For the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joel, the son of Pedaiah. For the half-tribe of Manasseh in Gilead, Edo, the son of Zechariah. For Benjamin, Jaaziel, the son of Abner. For Dan, Azarel, the son of either Jeroham or Yeroham. These were the leaders of the tribes of Israel. David did not count those below 20 years of age, for the Lord had promised to make Israel as many as the stars of heaven. That's one of the reasons that you don't take a census. Mm-hmm. You don't go count them.
Yeah.
He was really sorry later that he fell for that.
Yeah. You don't count them unless you're going to take a tax for the upkeep
exactly.
of the temple. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're going to do it, you have to do it for God, not for your own purposes. And that was the sin.
That's the bottom line. Joab, the son of Zeruiah, began to count, but did not finish. Yet wrath came upon Israel for this, and the number was not entered in the Chronicles of King David.
Ah, interesting.
We didn't get that tidbit before.
No.
Over the king's treasuries was Atzmaveth, or Atzmafeth, I don't know which it is, Veth probably, the son of Adiel, and over the treasuries in the country, in the cities, in the villages, and in the towers was Jonathan, the son of Uzziah. And over those who did the work of the field for tilling the soil was Etzri, the son of Kelub. And over the vineyards was Shimei, the Ramathite, and over the produce of the vineyards for the wine cellars was Zabdi, the Shifmite. Over the olive and sycamore trees and in the Shephelah was Baal Hanan, the Gederite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From Gedera, possibly.
Mm, yeah.
Which means that he was up there by Mount Hermon.
Yeah.
And over, I think, and over
the Sea of Galilee, anyway.
Yeah. I think there are two schools of thought about whether or not Gadara was at the north or the south. I remember we discussed that when we studied that in the New Testament before.
But you can see Mount Hermon from the Sea of Galilee. I just saw a picture the other day. It's like 30 miles distant, but you can see.
Yeah, but it's a big sea.
And it's a big mountain, 9,500 feet.
Yeah. Baal Hanan, the Gederite. And over the stores of oil was Joash. Over the herds that pastured in Sharon was Shitrai, the Sharonite. That's not me. I'm not that old. Almost. Over the herds in the valleys was Shaphat, the son of Adlai. Over the camels was Obil, the Ishmaelite. And over the donkey, interesting, an Ishmaelite. And over the donkeys was Jehdeia, the Meronothite. Over the flocks was Jaziz, the Hagrite.
Egyptian.
All these were stewards of King David's property. Jonathan, David's uncle, was a counselor, being a man of understanding and a scribe. He and Jehiel, the son of Ahachmoni, attended the king's sons. Ahithophel was the king's counselor, and Hushai the Archite was the king's friend. Ahithophel was succeeded by Jehoiada, the son of Benaiah, and Abiathar. Joab was commander of the king's armies.
Ahithophel, remember, he killed himself because he sided with
Absalom.
Right, thank you. Absalom in the rebellion, and Absalom didn't take his advice to go after David when David was on the run. Interesting. I didn't really know. I'd never known before just now where the name Adlai. It's not
as in Stevenson.
As in Adlai Stevenson, who was a senator from Illinois. So familiar with the name from him, but didn't realize that it was in the Bible.
Neither did I. I run across names from the Bible all the time that are used.
Yeah.
It's like, where'd that come from?
Yeah, and there's another Adlai in the Bible who's apparently the grandfather of the prophet Elisha. So, 1 Chronicles 28, David assembled at Jerusalem all the officials of Israel, the officials of the tribes, the officers of the divisions that served the king, the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds, the stewards of all the property and livestock of the king and his sons, together with the palace officials, the mighty men, and all the seasoned warriors. Then King David rose to his feet and said, "Hear me, my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and I made preparations for building. But God said to me, 'You may not build a house for my name, for you are a man of war and have shed blood. Yet the Lord God of Israel chose me from all my father's house to be king over Israel forever. For he chose Judah as leader, and in the house of Judah my father's house, and among my father's sons he took pleasure in me, to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen Solomon, my son, to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. He said to me, "It is Solomon, your son, who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish his kingdom forever if he continues strong in keeping my commandments and my rules as he is today. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord," the assembly of the Lord, well, the congregation, earthly congregation, but also the heavenly congregation, "and in the hearing of our God, observe and seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance to your children after you forever. And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Be careful now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Then David gave Solomon his son the plan of the vestibule of the temple, and of its houses, its treasuries, its upper rooms, and its inner chambers, and of the room for the mercy seat, and the plan of all that he had in mind for the courts of the house of the Lord, all the surrounding chambers, the treasuries of the house of God, and the treasuries for dedicated gifts, for the divisions of the priests and of the Levites, and all the work of the service in the house of the Lord, for all the vessels for the service in the house of the Lord, the weight of gold for all golden vessels for each service, the weight of silver vessels for each service, the weight of the golden lampstands and their lamps, the weight of gold for each lampstand and its lamps, the weight of silver for a lampstand and its lamps, according to the use of each lampstand in the service, the weight of gold for each table for the showbread, the silver for the silver tables, and pure gold for the forks, the basins, and the cups, for the golden bowls and the weight of each, for the silver bowls and the weight of each, for the altar and incense made of refined gold and its weight, also his plan for the golden chariot of the cherubim, that spread their wings.
He'll come in again.
We're getting in all pronunciations, so everybody know exactly what we're talking about. The golden chariot of the cherubim that spread their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this he made clear to me in writing from the hand of the Lord, all the work to be done according to the plan. Then David said to Solomon his son, "Be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. And behold, the divisions of the priests and the Levites for all the service of the house of God, and with you in all the work will be every willing man who has skill for any kind of service. Also the officers and all the people will be wholly at your command."
And 1 Chronicles 29. And David the king said to all the assembly, "Solomon, my son, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, for the palace will not be for man, but for the Lord God, for Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
So I have provided for the house of my God, so far as I was able, the gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, and the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, and wood for the things of wood, besides great quantities of onyx and stones for setting, antimony, colored stones, all sorts of precious stones, and marble. Moreover, in addition to all that I have provided for the holy house, I have a treasure of my own of gold and silver, and because of my devotion to the house of God, I will give it to the house of my God. 3,000 talents of gold."
That's about 225,000 pounds.
That's a lot of gold.
Yeah.
3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir.
But the total amount that David had collected was 100,000 talents of gold.
Yeah, but this is what he's personally giving.
This is what he's personally giving, right.
So 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver,
mm-hmm,
for overlaying the walls of the house, and for all the work to be done by craftsmen. Yeah, you have to wonder, the people in the vicinity,
mm-hmm,
had to be looking at Israel and thinking, they've got a lot of gold.
Yeah. And it lasts until Solomon's son, when Egypt comes up and raids the temple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
"And all the work to be done by craftsmen, gold for the things of gold and silver for the things of silver. Who then will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to the Lord? Then the leaders of fathers' houses made their freewill offerings, as did also the leaders of the tribes, the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and the officers over the king's work. They gave for the service of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 darics of gold." What's a darik?
It's a coin weighing about a quarter of an ounce.
Oh. "And 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron."
Yeah, a talent weighs about 75 pounds. So you figure 100,000 talents, you got 7.5. Am I doing the math right here?
I think so.
7.5 million pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
"And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord in the care of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. Therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, and David said, 'Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory,'" sounds familiar,
mm-hmm,
"'and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are our power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things, and now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people, and direct their hearts toward you. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all, and that he may build the palace for which I have made provision. Then David said to all the assembly, Bless the Lord your God. And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed their heads and paid homage to the Lord and to the king. And they offered sacrifices to the Lord, and on the next day offered burnt offerings to the Lord, 1,000 bulls.
That's a lot of
It's a lot.
Livestock.
Because you actually have to, you don't get to just push all 1,000 in at the same time.
No.
This is one at a time. 1,000 rams and 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. And they ate and drank before the Lord on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon the son of David king the second time. And they anointed him as prince for the Lord and Zadok as priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king in place of David his father, and he prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. All the leaders and the mighty men and all the sons of King David pledged, all the ones who were still alive, mm-hmm. pledged their allegiance to King Solomon. And the Lord made Solomon very great in the sight of all Israel and bestowed on him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. Thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. The time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. Then he died at a good age, full of days, riches, and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his place. Now the acts of King David from first to last are written in the chronicles of Samuel the seer and in the chronicles of Nathan the prophet and the chronicles of Gad the seer with accounts of all his rule and his might and of the circumstances that came upon him and upon Israel and upon all the kingdoms of the countries. And of course these books are not in our Bible because they were probably just historical books that for whatever reason
have been lost to the ages.
Yeah.
This account of Solomon being anointed leaves out all of the the drama that we'll get into when we get into 1 Kings, because another one of David's sons tries to raise himself up as mm-hmm. the king,
yeah.
Adonijah. And yeah. So there's some intrigue that goes on there, but this just sort of skips over that.
Bye,
but,
Sam.
We will get into that in the weeks ahead. And we'll close today with Psalm 127, a song of ascents, this one of Solomon, as we now move into the age of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate.
This is a good one. I especially like verse 2. It is in vain that you rise up early and go to bed late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us love to toss upon our beds or get up because I'm just worried about this, or I have to make sure that I bring in that, you know, I have to get out there really early and, you know, got to sell these, you know, widgets, you know, door to door.
Right, right. And, you know, that's something I've been guilty of.
And we all have.
Took me a while to learn to relax after we got here in the Ozarks because I, you know, coming off of 4 years of outside sales where, you know, had to go out there and, you know, bring home the bacon, as it were, you know, make those contacts on a weekly basis and do what I could to advance the ball for the company. You know, every day I wake up and feel like I've got to get on the road, got to get going. It's, well, wait, no, I just have to go to the office and do something I love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Now, again, back to what we discussed earlier. If you are doing something you really hate, really pray about it, because it's possible that the Lord has something else for you, or it's possible that there's something within you that the Lord needs to work on. Mm. Derek and I were talking earlier about the idea of not moving in a straight line when you follow the Lord's leading. Sometimes he takes you through a door that takes you into a little room that is just for a season. And he'll take you out a second door, but you're in that room for a reason.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to rhyme there, but I did. Not every choice we make is the wrong one. So if you are in a job that you hate, maybe you're there for a reason. Maybe there's someone that you need to speak with, something you need to learn there, or perhaps you need to walk out another door and you just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to know. And, yeah, because we've had some choices over the last 10 years that seemed at the time to be just disastrous.
But looking back on them, you can see where the Lord used that decision for his honor and glory.
Exactly. And so, you know, it's only sometimes in retrospect, as with prophecy. Sometimes we only see and really understand in retrospect. Oh, yeah, that's what that meant. Jesus really was the Messiah.
I think
retrocy.
Instead of prophecy, yeah. Retrocy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can see really well when I look behind me.
Or instead of prophecy, it's re-facy.
We'll work on that.
Yeah. It was good. Well,
your suggestions are welcome. Send them to Sam T. Dachshund.
Yeah.
Care of the Binky.
Yeah. Sam is working on the concept of prevenge instead of revenge. Yeah.
I know. I know. You're going to do this to me, so I'm doing it back to you first.
Exactly. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for bringing us together, and Lord, for your word, your words of inspiration, your words of counsel, your words of comfort. Lord, we thank you for preserving the stories of imperfect men and women through whom you chose to work your plan of salvation. And Lord, sometimes it seems that our roles are so insignificant that we don't matter, but we just pray, Father, that you will open our hearts and our spirits. We will hear your still small voice and know how much we are loved by you, that from the beginning of time, knowing how our days would be formed when yet there were none, that you would choose to come and be a sacrifice for us anyway. Lord, we thank you for your mercy, for your sacrifice. And Lord, we long for the day when we are together with you, reunited and in the council, the great assembly on your holy mountain. Father, we pray for those in need, those who are struggling financially, physically, spiritually. We ask that you would comfort them, give them counsel and direction. And Lord, we ask for your direction and for your blessing, especially for those, Father, who are carrying the gospel to the corners of the world. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. We post a new Bible study each Sunday morning. Join the discussion at the Gilbert House Fellowship page on Facebook. Subscribe to our podcast feed and explore the archives online at gilberthouse.org.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with